The first time I see him, he is crossing the street. What catches my eye is his sunken head, which hardly turns, though the intersection is busy. Then I notice his skinny body, which his string-like legs seem to pull behind them. His hair, parted down the center, looks like a pair of little wings, and he holds a pile of books against his chest. Sometimes his other hand droops to the side. Every once in a while, he stuffs it in his pocket and pulls up his tight, dark red velvet jeans. I sit in the shade outside a cafe, and he walks toward me, the sun on his shoulders. I can make out the flicker in his eyes as he passes, the items in his pants pockets, the soft fuzz on his neck, his shaved arms. Then he walks onto the terrace and stands for a moment by a table at the other end of the nearly empty cafe. My cigarette burns down to the filter. He looks confused, as though he knows someone is observing him, and he yawns with his entire body, a deep inhalation that soon drowns like a faint puff of air behind the shyest fist I have ever seen. The palm lifted in front of his mouth opens out toward the road, like a slowly burgeoning flower, and only then does he place his books on the table and sit down. It is early April, and I cannot take my eyes off him. He looks skittish and lost, as though he were living out an unpleasant dream, as though he keeps a different rhythm, different laws from those around him, and in his posture and gestures, the way he opens his book so gingerly, as though he is afraid of creasing their covers, the way he holds the pen he has taken from his pocket like a shard of broken crystal, how from time to time he presses his fingers against his temple and closes his eyes as if to give the impression of concentration, though I strongly suspect he is merely trying to refrain from looking around. There is something bare and untamed, something that speaks volumes yet remains unspoken. I stand up and begin walking toward his table. I don't understand how I even dare talk to a Serb, but somehow I feel compelled to make better acquaintance with him. Stravo, I say in Serbian. Hi, he says in a bright voice, almost like that of my wife, his eyes fixed on the book lying open on the table, the text of which is so small and tightly typeset that I can't make out what language it's in. May I sit down? I ask, and pull a chair from beneath the table. Sure, he replies, glances around, then nods at the chair and looks me in the eye. And I think, what an extraordinarily, magnificently beautiful man he is. His irises look like a sky preparing for a storm, and his trimmed stubble combines with his reddish hair, neatly combed and groomed, his torso long, like a horse's, and his face perfectly proportioned, delicate, and sweet. I can't remember how much time has passed since his answer, how long I have been staring at him, or he at me, like friends who have been separated for decades. I'm Arsim, I say, and reach out a hand. Milos, he says, and grips my hand in his cold, bony fingers. Nice to meet you. I release his hand and slide into his sad eyes, languid beneath his heavy, wrinkled eyelids. The next hour feels more comfortable than any I have ever experienced. We order coffee, lower our voices, and when I see that his books are in English, we switch languages. Though improbable, random even, it feels natural, because by speaking English, we can be different people. We are no longer ourselves. We are free of this place, pages torn from a novel. I discover that he is 25, a year older than me, that he studies medicine at the University of Pristina, and that he will probably specialize in surgery, that he is from a small town called Kurshumlia on the other side of the border, 30 kilometers northeast of my hometown, Poldiuevo, which in turn is 30 kilometers northeast of Pristina, that in addition to his native language and English, he speaks fluent German and even a smattering of Albanian. I tell him perfectly normal things about myself, too. The kind of things you would tell a new acquaintance. I tell him my age and where I come from. Tell him that my father taught English and got me interested in languages, and that one day I hope to work as a teacher of literature or a proofreader for a newspaper. And as I speak, I can feel the glue of his eyes against my cheek, the way he scrutinizes my every movement, his back hunched, his head to one side, listening intently as though he were trying to memorize everything I said.